All right, so I'm online with some brothers here. We're going to talk about, like, for street ministry, because all of us do street ministry, how do we deal with mockers? And because this is pretty important because it comes up all the time. Whenever you go out, whether you're just handing out gospel cards or if you go out and you are street preaching or holding gospel signs, we know that we're going to run into mockers. Jude 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who walk after their own ungodly lusts. So let's talk about mockers. What say you guys, you brothers, about mockers? Any thoughts?
I'm looking up a scripture verse, Brother Pergos, if you want to share your thought.
Well, here, first I will give a definition of the word mocker from the book of James. A derider, a false teacher, a mocker, a scoffer. So, yeah, that's interesting. I guess I've caught that before, but it just stood out at me. A false teacher is considered a mocker. Why is that, Brother Pergos?
Why is a mocker considered a false teacher?
Well, the other way around. Why is a false teacher considered a mocker?
Well, they're mocking the truth.
Amen. That's interesting. I guess when I think of the term mocker, I don't often automatically think of false teachers. I think of people that are atheists, people who want to get in your face, people who want to make fun. But yeah, false teachers, yeah, that's perfect. Because they oftentimes the modern pastors come up and they're mocking the word of God. They're twisting eisegesis. They're making up doctrine. Yeah, so that's right there. Interesting. Mockers and false teachers. So how do we deal with them rightly when we're in the street? Do we give them time? Do we try to reason with them? To win them, or do we rebuke them and turn away from them?
I think this my I just found my verse. I'd read it because I think it ties into all of this, and I can share my thoughts. So, 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Kind of the same thing, Brother Jude said, huh?
Yeah.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So I guess using that as my premise, I would go into, first of all, mockers. Yeah, they're false teachers. I looked it up. It's the same word Peter uses.
That, yeah, that's that interesting.
And second, mockers are willingly ignorant of what God's word says in scoffing it. They're not these poor, helpless, innocently ignorant people who just don't know better. Mockers are kind of marked by the people who are willingly ignorant, and that's why they fight against God's word, they push back against it, and they don't have ears to hear or eyes to see, and they don't have a heart for the truth. That's why they mock it.
Yeah.
And the way I would deal with them, the way I usually try dealing with them, is when they start pushing back, tell them to their face that they're mocking and that they don't have ears to hear, eyes to see. Tell them to their face that they're trampling the word of God, and turn your back on them and rebuke them and cut them off.
Yeah. I think there's two different types of mockers. Ready? You could cut them up into a whole bunch of groups. I think there's two different kind of mockers. Ready? I think there's the non-Christian mocker and there's the claim Christian mocker. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
So the non-Christian mocker would be like an atheist or just somebody that doesn't claim Christ, and they're getting in your face and they get a warning and a rebuke, a certain kind, but it's pretty much a warning about God's wrath and how they need the gospel, and they're secular people, so you can only do so much with them, and you just turn away from them and give them as little time as possible, turn your back from them and say, I really don't want to talk to you anymore. And if they keep on you, walk away from them. A lot of times I've got them, they get right in my face and they won't stop. I turn around, they're in my face. And then it's like, you know, now you're unlawfully, you're harassing me. So you try to warn them that they're breaking the law. And hopefully that's enough to tell them that you're on video and that I don't want any problems. I'm keeping the law here. You need to just walk away. But then you got the Christian mocker. And I think they get a different kind of rebuke. What do you think, Brother Purgos?
I was thinking of Titus 1:10, where there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be stopped to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake.
Yeah.
Those are people who are totally false teachers, claim his name, trample his truth underfoot. They get the harshest rebuke short of a organized false teacher.
Amen.
In my opinion.
Yep, absolutely true. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well said, brother. They get the harshest rebuke possible, like Jesus with the Pharisees. And we send them on their way. We don't cast our pearls before them. We turn away from them. And then here, Titus 3:10. A man that's a heretic, that's anybody that teaches schism or false way, after the first and second admonition, reject. One time, two time, reject. I'll admit, in my walk early, and maybe even sometimes in the distant past, I've given people way too many chances. Paul says, warn them once, warn them twice, reject them. That's two chances. We need to follow that. And so we need to warn them, reject them, mark them. So we kind of labeled what is a mocker, the Christian mocker, or so-called Christian mocker, non-Christian mocker. So what are some practical things when you're like holding gospel signs, you're preaching? How do you stay in the spirit, not get in the flesh? That's one. And then how do you practically deal with them? I talked about how I turn away and they keep getting in my face. A lot of times we talk about they won't give you any safe space, you know, like the arm's length that everybody pretty much, most of society understands, that your arm's length is kind of your safety zone and people shouldn't interfere with that. Otherwise, they're threatening or hostile. These people get right up in your face. I use my sign a lot and I hold my arm out in front of them and their only recourse is to grab my sign. And now that's actually a physical attack, a harass, or I should say assault. They're basically assaulting you, grabbing your personal possessions. So I use my sign as a buffer. And wherever they move, if they're that aggressive, I just keep holding my sign in front of them and I just keep street preaching. I don't keep talking to them. Does that make sense?
Yes, don't engage the people. It just incites them and makes them more agitated. You attempt to de-escalate the situation if possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and what do you say about that, Brother Zellis?
Yeah, sometimes they get in their flesh a lot, and then you told me this, and I've actually used it once or twice and after since that, and it actually really works. Like when they're reading their flesh and they're getting, sometimes the mocker turns from just being a scoffing mocker to being somebody who's really angry and almost like an attacking style mocker. And then you just diffuse, you just look at him like, why are you angry? I love you. I'm here because I care for your soul. I'm not angry. Why are you? And it just kind of diffuses. It takes the wind out of their sails, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot harder for someone who's angry to punch someone or do something to someone who has just said, hey, I'm peaceful, I love you, I'm here preaching the truth, why are you so fleshly? Versus if you say, yeah, you want to fight? All right, come on, let's go. Now you just incited them. So as Proverbs says, you know, we can say words to put off a bad situation, a kind word, or not use harsh words, and then try to diffuse it so that the police don't have to get involved, so that there's no kind of a situation where somebody thinks you did something wrong. And so that's kind of how I deal with mockers. I tell them, you know what, I have nothing to say to you. I'm not here to bother you. Go on your way. I'll move down this way. And then they follow me. Well, why are you following me? See, it's not now I'm bothering you. You're now harassing me. Then I'll remind them you're being unlawful. I'll tell them you're on video. You know, I don't want you to get in trouble, but somebody's going to call the police when they see two people going at it. And when the police come, you're going to get in trouble. I don't want you to get in trouble because I love you. You're my neighbor, but I don't want to talk to you anymore because it's not fruitful. Check out my website sometime. You can send me an email. I've told them that. Maybe that would help. Send me an email if you have something to say to me. We can't talk face-to-face because we can't do it peacefully. And then generally, if they're really, really, really aggressive, I believe what James says. You got to withstand the devil, and eventually he'll flee. I just stand with my sign wherever they move. I just keep my sign right in their face, and ultimately they end up yelling at my sign, not at my face. And almost, not almost, every single time I've ever done that, they eventually quit.
Yeah, well, I've only had one situation where they did not quit. They just kept following me around, but just ignore them and keep going. How about how to identify a mocker from a listener? Someone who might not be a hearer, but a listener. How would you identify someone who's a mocker?
Well, the very first sign is their body language when they approach. Oftentimes, not always, mockers come in real quick. They walk right up and go, I got to ask you a question. That's a good sign they're a mocker, not a seeker. Make sense?
Yeah, they basically come in bold, like they're going to teach you and not ask an actual question.
Yeah, now I have had some walk up and go, can I ask you a question? And then they ratchet up the mockery. That does happen, but it's rare. So watch their body language. And then here's another sign. Ready? I'm preaching. Yeah, what about, I want to talk to you. And I go, hey, I want to offer you a gospel card, how to find eternal life. No, I don't want the gospel card. What do we do with people that are absolutely not interested in a gospel card?
Well, if you don't want to talk about the gospel, I don't have anything to say.
Right, exactly. I say, well, we're here to preach the gospel. If you're not interested in a gospel card, I believe you're not interested in truth, and if you're not interested in truth, why would I talk about more truth? And then if they try to push through and go, no, I just want to ask you questions. Here's what I always say, brothers. I always say, well, I don't have to answer anyone's questions. I get to pick and choose who I answer. And in your case, I would suggest you send me an email. Here, it's on my card. And I'll answer any question that's legitimate via email. And if that ain't good enough for them and they still want to get in your face, say, you know what? You can't threaten me to answer your questions. That's not how it works. I'm not the Bible answer man for you. I'm here for seekers, and I'm here to preach the gospel. And you just have to kind of give them the rules of engagement. And if they think that they can goad you into a fight or an argument, they're going to do it. If they go, oh, he's not going to argue, he's just going to ignore me, they're going to walk away eventually. Eventually. Most times they'll just walk away. So how we play them has a lot to do with the outcome. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Another one is when they start, even if they would seem to be listeners, when they start pushing back against God's word or defending sin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. That definitely means they're not interested in the truth and they're, yep, we don't go along with anybody that starts defending sin and won't back down and won't hear the truth. If they just want to defend sin, they're a worker of Satan. There's nowhere to go with them.
Yeah, because like if you quote scripture and give somebody, this is what God's word says, and they just kind of brush it off like a fly in the wall, like, oh yeah, whatever, but, oh yeah, whatever, but, well, yeah, but, oh yeah, whatever, okay, yeah, but, and they just keep doing that no matter how many scriptures you give them, just trample them underfoot.
Right.
A mocker. They're not truth.
Right.
They're not seeking truth. They're not a seeker of truth.
Yep. So we try, as Paul said, we try to have peace with all men. It's not going to be possible with everybody. We try to win the naysayer. So we try. Here's the gospel. Would you like to talk about how to have eternal life? And if they want to listen, we'll preach it to them. Even if they're a mocker, if they'll stand and listen to the gospel, preach it to them. They're not going to maybe get it today, but maybe it's seeds that might the Holy Spirit can use down the road. And then here's another thing I do. You'll get people that blast in and they kind of say all kinds of stuff. They want to yell and everything. You know what I do a lot of times when it's a mocker? I stand and stare at them. And I don't say a word. And then they go, yeah, what do you say about that? And I just stand there and stare at them. And I don't say a word. Talk about uncomfortable silence. They think that you're going to fight with them and argue. Then they pipe up again and they'll say something else. And they go, yeah, what do you say about that? And I just stand there and look at them. I'll do that for a couple minutes. That's a long time to just stand and look at somebody you don't know, a couple minutes. And then eventually, you know what I do? I just turn around and start preaching and walk away. And it like takes away all the wind out of their sails because they want to fight, they want to argue, they want to demean you, and you just ignored what they were saying by being in silence like our Lord did oftentimes. And then I just turn and I walk away.
Yeah, that's a good one to use too.
Here's another one. Ready? So I've had this happen. I got men that come up and get right in my face, almost physical, and they go, yeah, you're out here preaching. You think you're something. Yeah, you think you're the only one can preach. Guess what I do?
Ask them if they want to.
Have you seen any of my videos? I love, they're my favorite ones. I go, really? You want to preach? And I turn to the crowds and I go, they want to preach. I'm going to be quiet. What do you have to preach for us today? Preach. We're listening. Every single time. Usually their lip starts quivering. They have nothing to say. They're not preachers. And they go, oh, yeah, you're just out here. Whatever. And they turn around and they walk away. What are they going to preach? What are they going to start sharing? They're going to look like fools because they got nothing. So these are just some tools that we can use to deal with mockers. And the last ones I had in the street not long ago, Brother Zealous mentioned it. One guy got pretty physical, got threatening in his words. He said, I'll come over there and kick your behind. But he didn't say it that way. He said it worse. And he looked like he was a weightlifter covered with tattoos and everything. Well, he approached me later. I was on a sidewalk. And he was getting pretty aggressive. He goes, you're going to get out of here whether you like it or not. And I said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm just preaching the gospel. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. And him and another buddy got right in my face. And I just had my sign, but I just put my arms out. I said, look at you guys. I said, what, are you going to hit me? You're going to hit me. I said, I love you. I'm here preaching the truth, and you're going to hit me. And the guy that was the most aggressive, he just looked down shaking his head like, I can't hit a guy that's saying, what, are you going to hit me? Ah, and he just turned around and walked away. Now, I guarantee if I would have said, I can take you, him and I would have fought. But I showed love, and I was basically submitting myself to be hit. You want to hit me? Go ahead. If I bleed, I'm still going to love you. They're like, oh, this guy's crazy. We can't stop him. I've said this to mockers, ready? I've said this to angry mockers. One day it might be my last words. I said, you know what? The only way you're going to get me out of here is if you kill me. Then you'll shut me up. Other than that, I'm going to preach. And they just look at you like, is he serious? One day somebody might take me up on that. I guess I better be ready. I know I am ready when I say it. So those are all the things we can use to dissuade mockers. Anything else, brothers?
Yeah, I guess the main thing is to make sure you're always walking in the spirit and you do not get in your flesh, because it's kind of like a seeker. Every single situation is unique because every single person is unique.
Yeah.
So you just gotta, like, those are just some general rules, but every single one's gonna be different. As long as you're walking in the spirit.
Let's talk about that.
Generally deal with it.
Let's talk about that. How does the street preacher walk in the spirit? How is that different than another person that doesn't street preach? What should we do? What do you do? Would you recommend a street preacher do to make sure he's going out into war? He's right on the front battle lines. He's going to face the enemies, police, mockers, haters, people that I got spit on the last preach we did. You're going to handle all this stuff. They throw stuff at you. How do you walk in the spirit, not the flesh? Brother Purgos, what would you say?
Step one, make sure you know what you're going to say. Make sure you're submitted, and you know that anything that happens is what the Lord allows. I also like to pray before I go out. I ask for the peace, so that way you can withstand and you don't get in your flesh. And I would suggest, if you think you're getting in your flesh, it's much better to leave than to do something that will permanently ruin your witness.
Amen. Good advice. Yeah. Yeah. Being in your flesh as a street preacher is like I can't think of anything worse, short of just outright sinning in front of everybody. I can't think of anything worse. Being in your flesh, because it's going to take you over the edge. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to act the wrong way. And while you're dealing with a mocker that you might go, well, he deserved it. You're dealing with a mocker, but what about the people watching you as a street preacher? And they go, oh my, he was a terrible witness. So we got to protect our witness out there for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. What I would say kind of ties into that. Make sure you never forget what you're there and who you're there to represent.
Right.
And then if you do that, it ain't about you. It's about Him.
Amen. Amen.
And then just remember that at all times. Don't let it get out of your thoughts for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say always operate, as Brother Purgo said, in the Spirit. So start in prayer. Always be meek and humbled between underneath the mighty hand of God and the Word of God. And then, ready? Walk in love and mercy. Not thinking, this one helps me a lot. Ready? Not thinking I'm better than any single person I'm going to meet on the street. I don't care if it's a police officer, the mayor, a homeless drug addict in the gutter, or the tattooed-covered mocker. I am not better than any one of them people. And that keeps me humble. But for the grace of God, there go I. I could have been that mocker on the other end. And so that keeps me humble to know how to deal with people and not be a bad witness. Because you can actually be a good witness even unto a mocker. Because if a mocker's really nasty, he could have some beers. Who knows? He could be under the influence of something else. He may go home and go, man, I really abused that street preacher. He might click on my website and go, man, I abused that guy. And he might go, he didn't do nothing bad. He just said he loved me, offered me the gospel, and he walked away. Wow. I don't have that kind of control. And that could really affect somebody in the long run, couldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So those are all the things that we have to think about. When dealing with mockers, we covered who's a mocker, we covered the Christian and the non-Christian, or so-called Christian, and the non-Christian mocker. We covered practically how to do things. It's always good. We didn't talk about this. I have a wife with me. She's always videotaping. I have a body cam. They see that. That's a good thing. I always remind them that they're being videotaped, and we talked about using your sign. That's why I like my sign on a stick. It's kind of a buffer, a barrier they can't get around unless they grab it and attack it. That means that now they've crossed the line to assault. That's a whole nother thing. And most of them won't do that when they know they're on video because they know they're going to go to jail, probably. Then we talked about walking in the Spirit and making sure that we're there for Christ and our witness. We're there to reach the lost, and we're not there to try to convince mockers to become born again this day. It's not going to happen. We're there to represent and preach the gospel most of all.
Amen.
And we're not better than anybody. I think, let me ask you this. Do you think it's easier for a street preacher to have self-righteousness?
Pride, yes.
Why is that?
I guess a lot of reasons, probably because you're so publicly standing for the Lord. It's very public. But if you have any kind of pride, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. What do you say about that, Brother Purgo? Do you think it's easy when you go hold a sign or you go talk to people and you're meeting a lot of sinful, wicked people like we used to be, but now we're not like that anymore? Can that puff you up and make you feel like you're better than them?
But you have to remember that you were probably worse than them. At least for me, I was like the prodigal son. So,
yeah.
I try to never think I'm better than them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good humbling experience to always go through. Preach the gospel to yourself, most of all. Realize you need Christ and His shed blood. You're imperfect. You were the worst. It may be person you ever knew. I say that about myself. I was the worst person I ever knew. Sister Amon would tell you she was right behind me. We were the worst of the worst. So for whom much has been forgiven, they love much. So we love the Lord much. We have a great zeal to go preach Him because He's forgiven us so much. Well, and I think my last thought about mockers, we definitely don't want to get involved in altercations and all that, and the best thing to do is not have words with people that are verbally aggressive, physically aggressive. Well, obviously turn away from them. But one of the things that we have to think about too is the fact that we can still be a good witness to them, as I said, and maybe down the road that may have an effect on them. Today, no, didn't. Down the road, it may have an effect on them. They may actually draw close to the Lord and remember the street preacher that they mocked, they spit on, they threw stuff at, they lied about, and they might go, you know, that person never did nothing mean to me. They just loved me and offered me the gospel and said they would forgive me. That could have quite a testimony if somebody starts turning towards the Lord. Isn't that true?
It could. In the same way, a good biblical rebuke can also do that.
Well, we always would do that. But I would consider a rebuke to be loving, so.
Yeah, a good loving rebuke for a mocker might also be something that might wake them up. That's what I was saying, like, when we started this audio about, like, you tell them to their face, you're mocking and trampling the word of God. Like, put them there so they can't hide it and think they're innocently resisting it or something, or just... They tell them they're defending sin, they're defending heresy, they're trampling the word of God, especially if they're claimed believers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, when I said being loving, what I meant was we didn't do nothing back to them. We didn't return evil for evil. We didn't call them nasty names like they call us. And, yeah, I always tell every mocker, I say, you know what? You're in the path. You're in the broad road to destruction. You're in the path of the wrath of God. I used to be there one time. I'm no better than you. But you need to repent. You're going to lose your soul. I'm here to tell you and everyone else that if you don't turn and you're not born again, you have no hope of eternal life to come, and you're trampling the blood of Jesus. And it's the most loving thing I can do to tell you, because I love you and I care for your soul. That's what I would tell some people. And then they walk away and go, wow, he just preached the gospel to me. He didn't do anything unloving. He didn't do anything that basically I deserved. And that rebuke and that witness can be a strong, powerful thing to people. And also, ready? Maybe, I don't know if you men have ever had this happen to you. I've street preached a little bit longer than you have. We've actually had people come up and say to us at a really rough event, and we've handled a lot of mockers, and we handled them well, Sister Amin and I. We've had people come up to us and go, we were watching you. We cannot believe how those people were treating you. And we're like, yeah, they're mockers, and we get that all the time. And they're like, we can't believe how you treated them. They're like, that was unbelievable. And they saw our witness, that we didn't do anything that was unchristian-like, ungodly, mean-spirited, that we just stood, we withstood them. And that had quite an impact on a lot of people. They're like, wow, I never seen anything like that. Because they're probably used to typical street preachers. Yeah, you big homo, you faggot, you drunkard. And they say all kinds of nasty things to people. And we don't do that. We just tell people the truth, warn them that they need to repent. Tell them they're a mocker. Tell them they're trampling the blood of Christ if they don't repent. But we don't become mean-spirited. And that's what usually street preachers do. So that's another reason we have to be extra careful. Street preachers have a very bad name in America and Canada. And so we have to make sure that we are walking blameless. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Amen. The last verse I would use on this is I'll use the words of our Savior. Let me go there. He tells us how we need to be. Let me get there. My phone's acting up. Behold, I send you forth as sheep and midst wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That's Matthew 10:16. That word harmless, it means innocent, pure, without guile. So that's how we have to be with mockers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anything else, brothers, as we close out this audio on this topic?
That was all I had for now.
Brother Purgos?
That's all I had.
All right, brothers. Thanks so much. I'm sure this will bless people that do street ministry, and it's blessed me. I got to remember these things, stay sharp, because almost every time we go out, we do run into at least one mocker. Oftentimes many, so we got to be ready. Oh, I do need to throw one thing in real quick. This just came to me. So when we go out and we run into mockers, and people see the mockers coming at us, and they'll come up to us and they'll say, why in the world are you doing this? Why do you stay here? Look at those people mocking you. Why are you here? Why don't you just leave? And at almost every single event we go to, we end up meeting two or three sheep that say, thank you for being here. Thank you for the gospel. You know what? You really confirmed to me what I've been seeing. And then we tell people, that's why we withstand the mockers, the police that get called on us wrongly, all the haters, because we're there to reach the people. If we let those mockers run us off all the time, we're not going to be sheep among wolves, are we? We're going to be hiding in a bunker somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So we go for the Lord. Amen. We go for the Lord's glory, and we go looking for those seeker sheep.
Yeah, and God is glorified either way, because even Amen. If they don't repent, God is glorified because it's going to stand to their judgment.
Amen. He's just, and he's glorified whether he sends them to hell or they enter into the kingdom. And we have to be good with that. So, all right, brothers, thanks for a good word today.
Amen.